Stephen, good morning.
Morning. How are you going?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning.
No problem.
Now, this very, very large event, it's not the absolute first of its kind, but certainly the largest of its kind. It's being called in Wired magazine as a bit of a glimpse into the future of what virtual reality and an altered reality can actually do for people, for users in the future. So this is the first of its kind in that sense.
I suppose it's the first of its kind specifically for a kind of competitive multiplayer space, which Fortnite is originally supposed to be. But, you know, if you think, there's all of these older things like Second Life, where people used to gather and have parties and build their houses, and, you know, there's all of these accounts in Second Life, this early Zeros game now, where people would host dinner parties, you know, and all of this kind of strange phenomena that you would only really generally associate with the real, I say real world, that's with caveats and a big air quotes real world. But yes, yeah, I mean, it is definitely one of the most mainstream examples of what we call in academia, we just call them third places. You know, you've got your first place, home, you've got your second place, work, school, and then you've got your third place. And the third place is something that we've traditionally had a lot of as communities. You know, think about cafes, barbershops, clubs, churches, libraries, sports events. These are all places where you go to be a bit playful, to be kind of on neutral ground where social status doesn't matter, race and gender shouldn't matter as much, class and all of this shouldn't matter, economic status and so on. Kids don't have that these days in most cities we live in. I think you're quite fortunate up in Sydney as we are in Melbourne, but it, you know, in a lot of places around the world, there's not a lot of parks in urban built-up areas. There's not a lot of places for kids to go and hang out. Community centres aren't really what they once were in a lot of areas in the world, you know, and parks certainly not. So they need these third places to go and just be together away from everything else, but together in a special space. And Fortnite and games like this can do that in really interesting ways. And I think this is a great example of that. You're just being apart together. And that's very important, I think, especially when growing up.
It's interesting, you know, when you talk about being together with people, growing up and experiencing these kinds of things. I think, you know, people of my generation, your generation, certainly those that are sort of consider themselves old fuddy-duddies these days, you almost got a knee-jerk reaction to saying, well, these online spaces, they're not real spaces. Get out there, get some sunshine, get some dirt on your feet, that sort of thing. But to these kids, these ones that are coming up and this is their norm, these are real spaces to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love that. I mean, I'm a parent myself. I mean, I'm only 35, so my kid's quite young, very young. But, yeah, they say go out, you know, go explore, go swing from trees. The response, of course, from the kid is where? You know, for me and you, sure. For me, even, it was already a period of urban build-up in England, and the question was quickly becoming, where, Dad? The park now is a set of apartments. The football ground is now, you know, a housing development project. So these kids, yeah, will rightly say, well, where do you want me to go? And we can't really, I can't point anywhere. I live in this very inner city suburb in Melbourne. It's beautiful, but I don't know where I would tell my kids to go if I said, go out and explore the shops, the mall, you know, I don't know. But these games offer exactly that, what we think of as, you know, these really crucial areas to developing our social skills, to creating long-lasting friendships, to maturing as people. This is exactly what they use them for. It's simply that it happens through a computer screen and the internet rather than over a drink or a cup of coffee or kicking a football around. I mean, it is similar to, you know, us just passing a football around and playing a game of golf and having a chat. That's what it is first and foremost about. It's about people first and foremost. It's not the game that matters. to these kids and to people who play it, it's people that are the addiction in these spaces, not the game. You know, that's why they go. They go for people. And that's something that we miss when we worry about, you know, they're playing these games all this time, it's so antisocial. Actually, it's hypersocial. It's why they're there, because they want and they need to connect with their peers and be a part together in a new and interesting way that creates a kind of accelerant to socialise, just like we would kicking a football around.
Well, that is an absolutely very nice way to look at it. In terms of the spaces themselves, and especially with the technology we see developing, evolving all the time. I mean, back when I was, you know, the kind of age I imagine a lot of these kids are, we were waiting on virtual reality to be the next big thing. We thought just around the corner we'd have these, you know, cool gloves and masks and we'd be living our lives in that sort of thing. It's still on its way. But in terms of, you know, we've got VR technology gaining more of a foothold, we've got augmented reality technology becoming more and more important. Are these, is the line between real spaces, what we consider real spaces, and these virtual spaces going to become more and more blurred?
Look, I don't, yeah, look, it's a very interesting question you're asking. I think to a degree, if we pivot on the issue of graphical and audible fidelity, which is to say, if we focus upon the idea that things are going to look really real and sound really real, I don't think we need that. I don't think people need that necessarily. I don't think kids need that. I mean, we've all played board games with our children and seen how... Sorry, I have a massive plane flying over my head. We've had these experiences playing board games with children where they are deeply emotionally invested in the gameplay, where they are deeply connected with the people they're playing with. And, you know, we've had all of these low-fidelity video games, and Fortnite is certainly one of them that isn't the most polished of realistic interfaces. But kids just... We have an enormous propensity, I think, and especially, I think, when we're younger, to be able to give meaning to things in our lives. And it doesn't matter, I think, too much about some objective level of fidelity. It's about what the things mean to us and how do they facilitate social connection. And so actually these kind of simple caricature cartoonish spaces may help, because it allows you greater agency to kind of be whoever you want to be and feel free to express yourself. I worry, in fact, that if you try and make something that is too much a representation of you, you might feel a bit inhibited to actually express yourself. You know, because you'll think, oh, everyone's going to be thinking about this is, you know, everything I say, everything I do is an absolute reflection of me. When games and these game spaces give you that wiggle room to say, well, look, we're playing a game, I can be a bit different, I can say different things, I can experiment with who I am, and people won't judge me as harshly. And I think that's really valuable as a child and as a teenager, to be able to experiment with who you are and how you behave and get people's reactions and figure out what you want to do and who you want to be. So I think we need to actually give people this wiggle room and not try and make them be authentic, in quote marks, representations of you know, this kind of static identity.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, thank you very much. I do appreciate it's a very interesting one, I think, to explore. Do appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure.